From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Caudette. This is Idaho Matters. In just 1 year, more than 110,000 people died from drug poisoning, and fentanyl was a huge part of that number. Around the country, states like Idaho are holding family summits on fentanyl. They bring together families who have lost someone due to either drug poisoning or drug overdose, with first responders, law enforcement, and grief counselors there as well. Now, Idaho Summit is set for Friday in Boise, and it will help family members who are trying to turn their loss into action against drugs. So here to tell us more is U.S. Attorney Josh Hurwit. Josh, nice to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Gemma. Thanks for having me.
So Josh, just how bad is the fentanyl crisis, not just in the United States as a whole, but in Idaho?
Well, you mentioned the staggering statistic of losing over 110,000 Americans last year or in 2022 to opioid overdoses and drug overdoses and fentanyl poisonings together. So that tells you what we're up against. In Idaho, we have seen, unfortunately, a steady increase in the numbers of fentanyl poisoning deaths. In 2022, it was around, those are the most recent statistics we have, it was around 350 individuals in Idaho, up from about 270 in 2021. So a very disturbing trend.
And Josh, it seems like not a week goes by that we don't see your office working on a drug case that doesn't involve fentanyl. So how often are you actually running into this drug here in the Gem State?
All the time. Last year, 2023, was the first time that in my office, and again, we deal with large-scale drug trafficking operations and those and dealers primarily. But last year was the first time that fentanyl was the drug most commonly prosecuted in our cases. Methamphetamine for the last, 3 decades probably was the leading drug in our cases. Fentanyl has overtaken that now. We also see a lot of cases where meth and fentanyl are trafficked together.
So they're trafficked together. And so, in fact, just this week, let's talk about a case you had out of Idaho Falls. And this is a woman who was arrested because she is alleged to have she was alleged to have had 11,000 fentanyl pills on her.
Yeah, not just alleged, but that's what she admitted to when she pleaded.
Oh, okay, okay.
She was sentenced to I think it was about 7 years. That case,
wow.
That number of pills is a huge number of pills, obviously, and sort of shocking. That her role in that case. She was a member of a conspiracy that had brought up fentanyl pills from the South on repeated occasions. That entire conspiracy, I think, led to the recovery of about 60,000 pills. And other defendants in that case are yet to be sentenced. And of course, this is just in one region of Idaho, right?
Yeah.
Idaho Falls, and that's not, unfortunately, uncommon for what we're seeing right now.
How then do these pills get from someone like this individual into the hands of our kids?
Yeah, that's, of course, a huge priority of ours to stop the flow in general, but also raise awareness so that young people know that when someone gives them or sells them what's called a prescription pill, let's say an oxy pill, or an Adderall or something like that, there's a high likelihood that it's actually a pill that contains fentanyl. To answer your question, we are seeing large quantities of these pills and also fentanyl powder starting to increase as well in the region. And, suppliers sell to, it's like any other, distribution chain. Suppliers sell to wholesalers who sell to dealers who sell to individuals. And, our goal is to work our cases to ultimately have success prosecuting the suppliers and take apart these entire networks and to stem the flow of fentanyl into Idaho in the first place.
So Josh, is fentanyl a cheap drug to manufacture? I mean, is that one of the reasons why it's so common and readily accessible?
Absolutely. Let me kind of try to paint a picture of the global supply chain here. The precursor chemicals used to make illicit fentanyl originate in China primarily, but also other places in Asia and even India. They are shipped transcontinentally to cartels in Mexico who have, you know, I hesitate to use the word lab because it's not a lab that, you know, you would think of with respect to a pharmaceutical company or any type of legitimate entity like that. But these cartels manufacture these fentanyl pills and fentanyl powders very cheaply using those chemicals that I mentioned mixed with other substances. And then they are able to smuggle them through the southern border, obviously, but also around and even up through Canada is something we're finding more in our region. It's very cheap to produce at the border. I've heard that fentanyl pills will sell for as little as a nickel. And then, you know, as you get to farther destinations away from the border, you're talking about $3 to $5 or maybe even $20. Or maybe even $40 if you're talking about somewhere very rural and very remote. So if you think about the profit margins involved in this, that's why we are seeing so much fentanyl right now.
So this might be a silly question, but Josh, why do so many people then die from fentanyl compared to maybe other illegal drugs?
Right. So fentanyl as a compound is actually used in legitimate medical practice. So if you have a surgery, you might be giving a fentanyl patch or even fentanyl pills to as you recover. The illicit fentanyl is as powerful as what you would get in a hospital setting. It's very addictive. It's much more potent than other street drugs. Heroin was sort of the similar drug before fentanyl essentially replaced it, and fentanyl is about 50 times more powerful than something like morphine, which is around the same as heroin. So it's just very lethal, very deadly, very addictive. And usually the question I get too is, well, why would the dealers, why would the cartels produce something that kills people? I don't know that I have a great answer other than, you know, these cartels have no care for human life. And with the profit margins and their own competition, you know, between themselves, they're just flooding the market as much as they can.
Well, right. I mean, they don't care about, as you said, human life at all. I mean, they see money, and I would assume that's why they do it. Okay, so how common is it then to see fentanyl made up to look like some other drug? And I'm asking this question, Josh, because this is something that I've seen anecdotally with parents who have lost teens in particular, where they have said, well, my teenager, you know, got on the internet, they thought they were buying something else, and then they overdose, and that's when we found out that it was fentanyl.
Yeah, that is what we see in the majority of cases that we have prosecuted when we have a death that results from fentanyl use. It's someone, in many cases, a younger person who is given a pill, sometimes by a friend, you know, who doesn't actually intend to harm them, has something that they're not really fully aware of. And these pills, historically and still today, are made to look indistinguishable from a legitimate oxy pill or a Percocet or Adderall or something like that. So there's a lot of confusion. Kids or even adults will take something thinking it is a legitimate pharmaceutical drug and it's a lethal fentanyl pill. And that's why, you know, along with the DEA and our other partners, we have several public awareness campaigns that basically try to teach folks the only pill you should ever take would be from, a trusted adult, but really from a pharmacy setting.
Mm-hmm. So, Josh, I want to move on to what I mentioned in the very beginning of our conversation, and this is this family summit that's going to be held tomorrow. Can you tell us about it? I mean, how exactly does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. So in conjunction with my office and the Idaho Office of Drug Policy, the DEA is leading this summit, as the DEA has done in similar settings across the country. And what it is it's a day-long program built for families who have lost loved ones to fentanyl poisonings. We will have tomorrow 7 or 8 families that will attend. It's an opportunity for them to share their stories, both with law enforcement, like myself and our partners, but also with each other. And these are families that obviously are dealing with unspeakable tragedy, but have all demonstrated a desire to help others and protect our community in general from these types of losses. So we will be talking about ways to do that. We will be talking with the families about our enforcement measures and some trainings for law enforcement that my office and other partners are rolling out this year. And we will give them an opportunity to hear from some grief counselors and really to share with us what they think might be really effective in terms of public awareness. And so I've had a chance to speak with these families in advance of tomorrow, and I can tell you these are very, very strong people who, like you said, I think at the beginning, who are turning their grief into action to try to save others. And that's a mm-hmm. remarkable gift that they're giving the community.
So, Josh, is this open to the public, or is this specifically only for, as we mentioned, the families who have lost a loved one, plus first responders, grief counselors, folks like that?
Yeah, it's not open to the public. In attendance tomorrow will be representatives from every law enforcement and first responder association that we know of in the state. We've had great response, of course. So there'll be, a good number of partners in the room to hear from and really be motivated by these families and to support them in any way we can. And then we hope, just like we're talking about today, that we'll be able to share the stories more broadly at the appropriate time as families are comfortable doing so to raise awareness.
Mm-hmm. So some of the family members who've taken part in past summits say that until they really lost a loved one, that they just didn't know anything about fentanyl. I mean, Josh, is this a common experience?
Yes, it is. I would say, unlike some other drugs, fentanyl affects all types of people in every nook and cranny of our state and in our country. Socioeconomic status isn't really an indicator of the dangers, unlike perhaps some other drugs historically. So it is not uncommon for, like we've talked about, a straight A student looking to study a little bit extra hard for an upcoming test to experiment with a pill that turns out to contain fentanyl. And isn't a kid that uses drugs or has any behavioral issues at all, and all of a sudden a family is left with a huge loss.
Just tragic. I can't imagine, Josh, how emotional these summits must be for everyone involved, right? I mean, first responders who have to show up to these tragedies.
Yeah. No, I mean, these are tragedies. I don't know that there's a word in the English language that adequately describes the feeling of loss that parents have when they lose a child. And so it will certainly be a very emotional day tomorrow. But I think, having spoken with the families, one that will offer hope and rededicate all of our partners to the hard work that we're doing to protect Idahoans from fentanyl.
So I know this summit is tomorrow, Josh, but before we wrap up, I mean, if family members are interested in this summit, how do they find out more information, and could they still attend tomorrow?
Sure. We, of course, would welcome any family members that would like to join. We hope to do future summits and future events around fentanyl awareness, even if tomorrow isn't available for everybody. I would encourage people to call sort of the three partners that are involved in tomorrow's summit. I know that any of us would be really honored to meet more families and work with them. My office's number is 208-334-1211. That's the U.S. Attorney's Office. The DEA has a great team here in Southern Idaho and Boise. I don't know the number, but people can Google that and reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marianne King, who's the director of the Idaho Office of Drug Policy, has been an amazing partner and knows exactly what we're dealing with and has worked with many of these families already. I know that she would welcome being contacted as well.
Really appreciate you coming in and talking with us about this. So appreciate your time today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
We've been talking with U.S. Attorney Josh Hurwitt about the Idaho Family Summit on Fentanyl, which is happening Friday, tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.